Hi there. This is Chaz Jenkins.
I'm Brian Courtney.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg. We're the crew of the Unwarranted Music Opinions podcast. And this week, on a special edition of Open Mic, we visit with Alabama musician Dan Lord, frontman of the 90s ska punk band Pain.
We hope you enjoy the show as he discusses his songwriting process, playing in a punk band in the Deep South, and his recent return to the music industry.
This is Dan.
Oh man, Dan Lord. Hey man, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
All right, I guess let's just get started. Do you guys have anything in particular you want to ask first?
I guess the very first question that's on my mind is, how did the band get back together?
Oh, that's a good question. How did the band get back together? You know, we're such a weird band in so many ways, and even when we sort of went on hiatus, even that was a weird thing. You know, it wasn't we didn't officially declare anything, you know, we just kind of sort of stopped, you know, a couple of us had some things that we wanted to try and do in life. And so off we went, and we didn't really have much of a plan exactly. All I know is that here in like in the past year or so, I just realized that I was stockpiling all these songs. You know, I've continued to make music through the years, but and you know, you take that music and you put it in different places, you know, in different formats or different in a documentary or something like that, you know. But some of the music that was issuing forth from me just wasn't anything other than a Pain song. You know, I couldn't do anything with it. I just would listen to it and go, that just needs to be a Pain song. But Pain was kind of scattered, you know, and but finally I couldn't take it anymore, you know. I mean, songs need to get out there, they need to be out there, and they need to be free. And so I ended up contacting all the dudes from Pain, and I said, look, I really think we need to make a new album. So that's it.
So when you guys got back together and started, you know, recording music again, what was it like, you know, the first time you all sat down and started practicing a song? Did it need a little bit of, you know, getting the rust off the wheels, or did it come together very smoothly?
You know, I was amazed at how smoothly it was. I mean, it was like only, you know, a couple of weeks had passed rather than 100 years, you know. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, everybody is, you know, fatter and older. And it just didn't matter, you know. All the hugs ensued. We just sat down. Everybody started doing their thing. Everything flowed. I mean, I don't know if you fellas are musicians or not, but you know how it is when musicians get together. I mean, you can create sheet music and do all that stuff, but what you really end up doing in order to explain to each other what you're trying to go for in a song really kind of breaks down into this weird quasi language of grunts and you're tapping on the floor and shaking your head and
facial expressions.
Yeah, right. And I mean, it was so funny because we immediately picked up that language again, and that's how we were communicating. We sounded like insane people.
Why did you change the band name? Was it just something you wanted to start a new chapter, or?
Well, partly was that, we weren't exactly planning on it, but it ended up that Pose, who's the co-founder of Pain with me, you know, and the bass player, he was unable to do this. And so I had to respect that. You know, we talked a little bit about it, but he wasn't really prepared to enter the music scene again. So we just made the decision that maybe it was just time to create kind of a new identity while at the same time letting everybody know that this really is kind of a new chapter in the path of Pain.
So does the name have any significance, or is it just something you all spitballed around?
I don't know. You know, the name had been bouncing around in my head for a while. I just like that word, salvo, and it just reminds me of, I mean, just because the word means blasting off a whole bunch of things at people in a good way, hopefully. That's kind of what we're going for.
So after a little bit of online research, i.e. reading the Pain Wikipedia page, I read that the band got started in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So how did how did that come together? What was the scene like in Tuscaloosa at the time?
Oh yeah, the you know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama isn't far from Mobile, Alabama, and that's where Pose and I grew up, actually, down on the Gulf Coast. So we were formed by that for years, of course. You know, our drummer, George Kennedy, also grew up. He was one of our friends as well, and he grew up down there. He got into the music scene pretty early in his life, you know, and in his teen years. I mean, you probably knew this already, but I was really super dorky. When I was in high school, I super with like a lot of U's, the letter U after the S, like super dorky. And so I didn't really get into any kind of music scene. I mean, if we want to listen to music in Mobile, Alabama, you would put your tape into the cassette deck of your car and drive around and listen to music, right? So it was on the quiet side for sure. There in Tuscaloosa by that time, you know, Mark and I are grown up and we're trying to get this band going. And in Tuscaloosa, it was, you know, college rock was a big deal at that time. As you fellas well know, you're kind of carrying the torch for the big 90s explosion of college rock, right? There was just a lot of underground stuff and what they just simply called alternative music, you know. I mean, there was all the stuff on the radio that was mostly bad, but had some good stuff too. and then of course this wealth of cool stuff going on underground, you know, in the alternative music scene, you know. So there was a lot of that at Tuscaloosa, and there were a lot of garage rock bands. You know, that was the big age of grunge, right? Grunge was on. It was going. It was happening, right? And so there was a lot of that kind of angsty, sort of somewhat angry rock. And a lot of bands were going down that road. We knew definitively that Pose and I, that we didn't want to do that. Don't get me wrong. There's all kinds of stuff from that genre that I love, but we just knew we didn't want to do that. We were after a more a more positive, happier, more melodic kind of vibe. That's what we were going for. So, I don't know. That was probably a super long-winded answer to your question. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
Oh, no, that answers it for sure. But one of the things that set Pain apart when I was listening, when we were all listening to Pain, and also just judging by the little snippets of songs for Salvo, one of the things that set your songwriting apart is just all of this interesting and creative instrumentation that may not be all that common in the genre that you're working in.
Yeah. You know, I for one am really I like to hear a lot of different kinds of sounds, and I'm fascinated by different instruments, you know. And so I like to try and incorporate that into my songs as much as possible. I mean, I try not to be too I try not to overdo it, you know, but maybe that's kind of up for debate.
I assumed it was maybe you and Pose who composed the songs, but how does your composing start? Like when you wrote the album Midgets with Guns and that violin hits and One Legged Girl, like how did you make choices like that when these instruments are going to be used in these songs?
You know, I guess it just sort of all starts in my noodle, in my brain. And I sing it to myself for a long time. And I don't know. So it kind of grows there first. By the time I get in front of a group of musicians, I'm pretty sure I already know the instrument I want to hear for what part, you know. Usually. I try not to be too rigid about that because lots of surprises can happen, you know, when you get around a bunch of musicians and somebody suggests doing something and it ends up being a really cool thing. But mostly I know what I want to hear by the time we sit down and start recording.
Has that process changed over the years?
No. That's me. I mean, I know different musicians work different ways, but that's how I am.
Speaking of the instrumentation and all of these ideas, what kind of ideas are you working with Salvo that might be different than what you had with Pain?
That's a good question. I knew for this, and this is such a big collaboration between myself and the guitar player of Pain, Adam Guthrie, who is just he's a brilliant musician and a brilliant guitar player. As he and I started developing these things, we wanted there to be more stringed instruments than usual. I mean, than the average Pain record. So there's a really a big variety of, I don't know, like Celtic sounding instruments, rustic sounding stringed instruments. You know, you'll hear a lot of that on this one, more so than on any Pain record before. We also try to keep everything rocking, you know, keep it entertaining and fun and moving along fast and at least interesting, you know, and not get too bogged down in the instruments that we're playing. But yeah, that's one big difference I'd say is you'll hear more of a, I don't know, like a Celtic kind of a sound. Then again, I don't want to give the wrong impression is that we're not making like a Chieftains record or something.
When you guys started off and released your debut, were you expecting to hit a big, I wouldn't call you like a pure ska punk band, but you were coming into that genre when it was really getting huge.
Yeah.
You know, what were you guys expecting?
I don't know. You know, ska wasn't really on our radar screen when we started. You know, it's natural. It's very natural for people to kind of associate us with that genre. You know, that wasn't for Pose and I. That really wasn't an influence in our lives. Ska was not much of an influence. We just didn't really think about it too much. But you know, we ended up just because ska was ascendant at that time. We ended up playing, we'd play with like a lot of shows with ska bands, either like double bill shows or big ska, you know, explosion things. And we met a lot of swell people that way and with great, very talented bands. So it's not a bad thing. It's just sometimes I think ska, like really super ska fans weren't quite sure what to make of us. We're just kind of an oddball band.
You guys, like I'm a real big Fish fan, a Mighty Mighty Boston Tones. I really like ska punk, but you guys.
Right.
You guys dominate that genre, no question, with your use of different instrumentation and very interesting use of horns. Like, Milk just blows my mind when the horns kick in on that introduction. It's so awesome.
Thank you. I mean, that's really cool of you to say that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Chaz was basically the one who got the ball rolling. You know, we're doing this podcast. We're all choosing albums that we all have to listen to just to see difference in opinion and everything. And he was like, I've got this punk, this ska punk kind of bands, Pain and some Midgets with Guns. He chose that album. I'll be honest, me and Brian were kind of skeptical. It's not really a genre that we listen to all that often. But as soon as the title track with that acoustic guitar, I was just blown away. So what kind of significance does that music have to you in the current day right now? What kind of legacy, personal or non, does the Pain discography hold for you?
Oh my gosh, you know, I'm very happy with it. You know, that's, I mean, that continues to be a big part of my life, and I guess it always will be. I mean, it's really good stuff, and when we do intend with the release of our Salvo album, we intend to tour and really make at least some of the shows kind of like a Pain reunion show, you know, where we're going to play all the stuff from the Pain discography, or at least a lot of them, and blend it in with the Salvo stuff, you know, just because, my gosh, we have such loyal, wonderful fans for all these years, and they've been begging for us to play again, and so I'm very pleased to say that finally we can stop letting them down.
Do you have any personal favorite songs from the old Pain discography or any, and maybe any insight into the songwriting process or what those songs are about, like lyrically? Because like we can make assumptions on our own and kind of read into the lyrics, but some of them I find are kind of hard to pull apart sometimes. So are there any favorite songs of yours that are you're looking forward to playing again? And what significance do they have to you from the perspectives as someone who wrote them?
Wow, that's a good question too, man. I always have a fondness for Midgets with Guns. Oh, let's see, Futz Said Julie. Some of the ones that are a little bit harder to translate onto a stage are also my favorites too. Mm-hmm. Like Umbrella and Beanbag and like the Song of the 7-Inch Cowboy. Those were just, they were just fun to record and fun to arrange, and I'll always like those, even though they're not they're not super big crowd pleasers, but you know, I like those.
Yeah, you know, they're not like maybe the most sing-along, but like 7-Inch Cowboy is easily one of my favorites from the discography.
Oh, good,
like,
good. Okay, well, there you go. You and me, man.
Yeah.
Actually, that was my next question about what I think sets you guys apart from many other bands is what you write about, especially with Salvo, Goblin Orchestra. So how do you decide, like, ooh, I'm going to write a song about an orchestra of goblins, or I'm going to write a song about a cowboy that's 7 inches? Like, how do you come up with that material?
I guess that goes back to me back in seventh grade and eighth grade, just realizing how much I wanted to be like the next Tolkien. And so me sitting around scribbling stories by hand on loose leaf paper, you know what I mean, for thousands of pages or whatever, and just making up stories and making up stories about creatures and people going on adventures and things like that. As I moved into the world of music, I always liked the idea of taking stuff like that and trying to put them into songs. So you'll see certain songs like One-Legged Girl, for instance, that really is kind of like a some amateur short story, fantasy short story thing that's made into a song, you know. You know who always did that really well, and you don't laugh at me, but you're already laughing at me.
I'm sorry.
But Kate Bush,
Oh yeah,
I am a
100%.
mega super devoted,
You
like
got
almost
Jacob
religious.
very excited just now.
Oh, I adore Kate Bush.
Oh my gosh, me too, man. I have almost a religious devotion to Kate Bush, and I always admired her songs where that just kind of sounded like a little, almost like a fairy tale or like a story or some weird story. I don't know. And she would put it into a song. I already knew that that was something that could be done effectively. And so I thought, well, I'll try my hand at that. And I still like to do that.
So, basic question, but I'm just curious, and I would really like to know, of all the four albums you made, and the EP included, which features my favorite song by you guys, Jabberjaw. Love that song to death. That's how I actually got
Thanks.
into you. I think that's how a lot of people got into you from
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I get a lot of stuff from people who discovered it that way, and it's so funny because that was just sort of a side project.
But what's your favorite album you made? Mentions with Guns, Wonderful Bee, Full Speed Ahead, or Goggins? What would be your favorite project that's the one?
It's kind of a toss-up for me between Full Speed Ahead and Midgets with Guns, I'd say.
I think I couldn't tell you. That's a toss-up too. Both of those are so amazing.
I wanted to ask, my favorite song from y'all actually lands on Wonderful Beef. It's The Man Upstairs. And I wanted to ask what role religion had in your music, because we do hear a few songs on Wonderful Beef that kind of talk about that with The Man Upstairs and
Yeah.
Gavin. Yeah, and you went on to work at, when we were trying to get in contact with you, we had emailed the church you used to work for as the Sunday school teacher, I believe, or to some, we had tried to get in contact with the church. So I wanted to ask what role religion had in informing the music you wrote.
Yeah, you know, I was raised Catholic, right? And for a long time, that wasn't really important to me, but later it became important to me. So important that I decided I really wanted to learn more about it. I mean, but not just in a cursory way, but really. So I ended up going and getting my master's degree in theology, and I really wanted to teach it. And so that's what I did for a while. I taught and I taught and I taught theology just in at a lot of different places. And so it's always been important to me. You know, I mean, those are the biggest questions, you know, that we can all ask ourselves. You know, they really should kind of inform every part of our life. You know what I mean? That should be a part of it. You know, we tend to take that stuff and make it just one little tiny compartment of our lives. You know what I mean? But for me, it's always, it kind of gets into everything. You know, I can't help it almost. It just kind of gets in there, you know? And so, yeah, it sneaks its way into songs and lyrics all over the place. And you'll hear it on the Salvo album as well. You know, I hate preachiness. I don't like to be preachy. I just think it's a cool, intellectual, viable way to grapple with problems in life and the mysteries of life, you know?
Yeah, I understand 100%. In regards to Salvo, do you have a timetable for the album or a title for the album yet?
Yeah, you know, we thought we had a timetable, and it was going really well. And we were thinking May would be the release of the album. Now maybe we'll have to. We're definitely going to start playing live shows in May, but the full album will probably be released. Oh, I don't know, September. But everybody can definitely look for a single or two in May.
You don't know how happy this makes me.
Chaz and Brian just started dancing. I'll have you know.
Yeah,
That
thank
makes
God you can't
that's
see
great,
us.
man. That's great. Cool. You know, I'll be interested in hearing what you think. You know, I made kind of a conscious choice with this album to, I don't know, make a little bit of a change to the style. I don't know. I'll let you be the judge of it. You let me know if you hate it. Don't tell me.
Right. Based on previews, it's pretty exciting. The Goblin song had us all just like the feeling in the room was like, "What is this? This is gonna be so good." Yeah, I'd say we're all readily excited.
And should have asked earlier. Where is the band rehearsing and playing? Are you still in Alabama or elsewhere?
Yeah, most of this is taking place in Birmingham, Alabama, actually in Homewood, Alabama. Yeah, there's a great studio there and a lot of fantastic musicians there. So yeah, that's where we've been.
I was going to ask, because I've been seeing all the your YouTube page, all the different instruments that you're introducing. Are a lot of those for separate tracks, or like multiple tracks are going to utilize all these instruments, or, you know, what's the...
Oh. More of the latter. A lot of the songs will have, you'll hear them pop up all over the place. You know, just want to hold on to that eccentric vibe.
There be some classic ska punk sounding songs as well, like with just horns and guitar, or will it be very more diverse than just that?
I do think that it'll sound more diverse. You know, it should sound like Pain stuff. Pain fans should be right at home listening to it, but they should also be able to think to themselves, oh, these guys have developed a little bit. They're doing some different things. Not radical departure, but kind of a, I don't know, what would you call it? Just a natural evolution, I think.
So if you're looking, I guess, retrospectively at the Pain discography, you know, the three of us here, we would all agree that, you know, those albums should have been huge. They should be landmarks for the genre. But unfortunately, you know, they didn't catch on quite that much. Maybe Pain would be like a cult band with some hardcore fans. What's the feeling of being a member of like a cult band? You know, you're not quite a totally obscure, unknown band, but you're not on the other end of the spectrum either. You're kind of somewhere in the middle.
I think I can speak for everybody in the band. Everybody's just very proud of what we've done over the years, you know. Everybody's very happy and proud, and you know, I mean, all of us work for a living. Most of us are professional musicians for a living, you know, which that just kind of comes with poverty and you know, and struggle. I mean, you do it because you love it, you know, and yeah. So we were doing it then because we loved it, and that's why we're doing it now.
So last thing you officially released as Pain was the EP. Were you, at the time, this is like in the early 2000s, were you still planning to make more music? Or, because you mentioned that it kind of just stopped. It was never like a, we are breaking up. So was there plans for new records and it just never fell through? Or how did it like officially end?
There wasn't a solid plan, but it was just sort of out there like sort of an unspoken possibility, you know. I just know that I had to go and explore some other things, and that was important to me then. But I did that, so now it's time for this.
I wanted to ask one last question, and that was in regards to, sometimes this shows up in your lyrics, about Dungeons and Dragons. Were you a Dungeons and Dragons guy back in the day?
Oh my gosh. Man, not only was I then, I'm actually, because now, you know, I'm a dad. And I've got a bunch of kids, and including a couple of eighth grade freshman year age boys, and we play Dungeons and Dragons together.
That's awesome.
Okay, I actually need to ask this because I'm so curious. Did you ever meet the girl from Grudge? Did you ever find her again?
I.
It's just been burning in my mind. I have to know.
let's save that for the next interview. How about that?
All right, sounds all right. Good. Hey, Dan, thank you for your time today, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, it has, man. Thank you very much, fellas. Really, we appreciate all your enthusiasm,
We're
man.
Absolutely this is... looking forward to the record, for sure.
Yeah, we'll see if we can catch you on tour or something, or get a hold of the new record. Hey, appreciate it, Dan. Take it easy.
Okay, cheers.
This has been a special edition of Open Mic. I'm Brian Courtney.
I'm Chaz Jenkins.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg, and we hope you enjoyed our discussion with Alabama musician Dan Lord. here on Morehead State Public Radio.